1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We are awaiting the end of Chiefs practice today. Remember, it's their final one before their preseason opener on Saturday in Arizona. Padded practice today. So the way these typically go, they could be done in about 10 minutes. Otherwise, we're about 20 away. It's usually kind of like you kind of get a good feel of how long this goes. Because of the day off tomorrow, maybe they do go to closer to 11:30. And when practice is over, we'll hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Also get a little update from Andy on the injury front. Obviously still seeing Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown in the medical tent, working with trainers today. Drew Tranquil, though, back out there. And Christian Fulton off the PUP list, which is obviously great news. So those are a couple things we're keeping an eye on here live from Chiefs camp. Nate Taylor's going to join us after practice as well. And our camp coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. But let's talk a little Royals baseball. We had Josh Vernier join us
fun
yesterday.
Win last night?
Yes, much needed. Much needed the sweep of the Boston Red Sox. We talked about Jonathan India moving down in the order. Yaz looked very good in the leadoff spot yesterday. Professional ABs obviously made a great catch in right field.
Yeah, sure did.
Robbed a home run, which...
Ben Heisler said he was sitting behind Yaz's family at the game.
Yeah, Heis was in Boston at Fenway. That's a bucket list place. My goodness. I've been to Wrigley. You've been to Wrigley. I have not been to Fenway. Fenway is... I'm hoping, like, that needs to happen here in the next 5 years, I feel like. I got to go
to Fenway. The next 5 years, you're going
to
make a point?
Yeah. I need to go to Fenway. But we asked Vern...
It's not going anywhere, but yes.
Yeah. We asked Vern about the wild card hunt because we know... Multiple teams are in front of the Royals right now in the standings. In fact, the Royals are 4 back. The Rangers are a game and a half back. The Guardians a game and a half back. The Yankees currently occupy the final wild card spot. So really, we're talking about those Red Sox, Mariners, Yankees, Guardians, Rangers all in front of the Royals. And other than Cleveland, every one of those teams above them, fair to say, are just better.
That's where – so I was doing an exercise. When I asked Vern that question yesterday, I was doing the exercise like earlier in the day. Where you're trying to, you know, talk yourself into it, right? You know, like where you have one opinion of something, and you're like, you know, maybe I'm looking at this wrong. Let me look at the other side. I'm going to talk myself into the Royals as a playoff team. That's the doesn't mean you have to, like, believe it at the end, but, like, that's the exercise. And a huge hang-up I was having, Gold, was the answer to that question. If I asked you, Gold, or Drew, or me, or any other Royals fan, and I said, of the AL wildcard teams who are in or around you, which ones do you think that you are definitively better than, the same as, or worse than? And I came up with, unfortunately, far more teams I think they are worse than the other two categories. I do not think they're as good as the Boston Red Sox. I do not think they're as good as the Seattle Mariners, who I think have a better lineup and just as good of a pitching staff. I do not think they are definitively better than the Yankees, although that's coming closer to reality. But part of that is I think they're probably better than the Yankees without Aaron Judge. But I don't think that they're necessarily better team than the Yankees when Aaron Judge is on their team. So if you ask me today, as they sit, are they better than the Yankees? Sure. Are they better than the Yankees a week from now? Not as sure. When they get Cole Reagans back, let's have a conversation. The only teams in the mix that I think they're better than, I think they're better than the Guardians. I know the Guardians are playing good baseball, and they are one of the most frustrating teams for this reason. They'll stay in a hunt even after they trade players away, when it appears their roster is depleted. And they'll just keep winning games, and you'll be annoyed by them. But I think they have a better roster than the Guardians. And I think that they have as good of a roster as the Rangers. I do not think they are better than that team. So, like, I just listed off every wildcard team, Gold, and there's only a single team I think they're better than. The Guardians. I think they are worse or the same than the other ones. That can't be good, right? That can't be good for their wildcard hopes.
Well,
you don't feel
not.
Any different, obviously.
I mean, obviously it's not good. You gotta eventually beat up on those teams. I still think the upcoming 9-game stretch, if you think there's any chance of them getting hot, it has to be during this 9-game stretch. Otherwise, they're going to be in the spot that I've kind of said they're going to be, which is 3 under and 3 above. That range. That's the range they're going to live in, and that's not going to be good enough for the playoffs, but it's going to tease you enough for the final 50
games. I'd like
them
to get to the 3-up part.
Well, sure.
Keep saying that number. They've just been 3 below to even.
Yep. So that's the range, though, man. And I think the teams in front of them, if you even look at the betting markets, I mean, the Royals, a week ago, believe it or not, a week ago, they were 4-1. The Royals are now 7-1 to make the playoffs. It's gotten worse odds-wise to make the playoffs, even though they've been
playing
better.
They're pretty much the same number of games back. Yeah.
Guardians are plus 235 to make the playoffs. Boston is minus 450 to make the postseason. The Yankees are minus 420 The Mariners are minus 450. Again, so all these.
And I said the Yankees are minus 420. That's a bad bet.
Then the Rangers are plus 132. The only team with plus odds as well as the Royals to make the postseason of this group are the Rangers. And the Rangers are, what is that, three games in front of the Royals?
Two and a half games
in front of the Royals.
Yeah. Two and a half games.
So
like the betting market, if they're about the same odds, they think what we think, which is the Rangers and the Royals are.
Well, no, the Rangers are plus 150. That's what I'm saying. Man. They're the only other team with plus money, but the Royals are 7-1. The Rangers are plus 150.
I was really trying to look at this objectively and be like, do I think that they're better than these teams? And I looked at their rosters and their, and you know, the runs per, and look, the runs per game, that's just never going to look good.
Someone says, doesn't matter if they're better, just got to get hot. And that's what I'm saying about the nine games.
I think it's less likely they're getting hot because they're the worst of those teams.
But if you think they're going to get hot, then it has to happen during this next nine games or it's just not happening, guys.
Yeah, that's the reality of it. Right now, the Kansas City Royals possess the third best team ERA in all of baseball. The Rangers have the best. Like, Boston has the seventh best. Like, the teams that they're up against, the one big advantage they have are the Yankees. The Yankees can't pitch. The Yankees are a bad pitching team, Gold. And when there's no Aaron Judge in the middle of your order hitting 60 home runs and getting 130 RBI, well, that offense doesn't look so dangerous either. Jazz Chisholm's not going to carry him the rest of the way. They don't look quite as dangerous without Aaron Judge in their order, even though, and they can't pitch. So, like, the Royals are definitely a better team pitching-wise than the Yankees. And to Vern's point, roster-wise, I actually think they might be as good as the New York Yankees. But the Yankees have owned the Royals consistently over the last couple of years as this team has been pretty good, and this year. So we run into those problems. My biggest hurdle right now in talking myself into it, even if they win 6-3 over the next nine, and we can talk about that more tomorrow, even if they win on the streets, my biggest issue is that they're going to have to get hot or hotter than four teams I think are better than them. That's tough. That's just a tough thing to overcome. If they had the leeway, if they had played better earlier in the year, Do I think they could outlast those teams? Sure. But they can't just be better than those teams, Gold. They got to be 5-6 games better than those teams, and that's tough.
They get the Twins starting tomorrow. It's an off day today. You'll hear the Twins series right here on 96.5 The Fan. Saturday it'll be on the AM, The Fan AM, as the Chiefs, of course, will be on 96.5 The Fan FM when they take on the Cardinals. From the 620, someone says, I just had a Cody moment.
Uh-oh, what happened? You got stung?
They mow for work.
Oh,
they
man.
Were in a backyard. In the corner of their fence is a wasp nest. They all started coming at me.
Did you get stung? You all right?
You're on the job when it happened? Oh, that sounds like some. That sounds like a workman's comp.
Workman's comp. Uh-huh. Depending on if you're a freelance employee or an employee of a yard weight or yard company. I will say, happy to report, I sent you guys a text. Yesterday, my yard is mowed. My yard is mowed completely, and I am steam.
Eradicated.
I saw where he had sprayed. I had not gotten close to the area. I saw where he sprayed. It looked like it's just like antifreeze, just like with two holes poked in the ground, essentially directly into the yard. I saw where he sprayed. I noticed no yellow jackets. I did not get stung. I properly mowed my grass. I was as sweaty as I've been in a very long time. I mowed the grass in long socks.
Did you take a picture?
No, I didn't.
Dang it.
I mowed the grass in long socks, jeans, a long sleeve shirt, a hoodie with the drawstrings pulled all the way closed so that only my eyes were exposed. I like tied the hoodie string behind my head so it wouldn't fall down or get loose. Big, huge work gloves. I mowed my entire grass that way. I wasn't a risk. They
the front yard too?
That's where the wasp. That's where the
yellow jackets. I thought the wasp was in the backyard.
No, they're in the front yard.
Oh.
I mowed the front yard that hill. I mowed both yards yesterday in full, dressed like that the entire time. I wasn't going to risk that they had relocated.
Just get a bee suit.
I hadn't
just
seen
get
one.
A bee suit and be
well,
done.
Well, for the future, I might, but I wanted to get the grass.
You should have taken a picture. I'm disappointed. That would have been funny to look at, to see like how cocooned you were, basically.
I agree, Drew. We will get to the trash of the day. Also, a new piece of audio that just was brought to our attention. It's a reminder that football is back. We'll explain what that is in a little bit, but for now, let's get to all 32. I'll start us off with some concerning news about a starting quarterback in the NFL. That would be one Matthew Stafford LA Rams. This could be his final year. We knew that going in, and I told you the Rams, I still think they're, other than Philly, one of the two, three best teams in the NFC. although they're not favorites to win their division, that would be the 49ers. And now I'm kind of backing off the Rams, Cody, because Matthew Stafford is dealing with a slipped disc.
Seems bad
in
for
his
a quarterback.
Neck. Given his age as well, we could see Jimmy Garoppolo maybe having to start a game. They got a month to the season, so they're not saying Stafford won't be ready. But I don't like this, that heading into the season, he's dealing with what I'll call like an old man injury. I don't like this at all.
No, that is an old man injury. Slip disc for a contact sport feels like a very
serious one. In his neck?
Hell, if he played anything but quarterback, you would be counting him out for a huge chunk of the season as a result of that. The only reason they're probably even consider getting him ready is because he plays at least a slightly lower contact position than some of the other guys. And, yeah, I was with you. I thought, you know, like sleeping on the Rams, at least offensive ability, at the very least, Gold, where you're like, dude, I mean, they got some guys on offense. You got to think that they could put up some points. Kyren Williams got paid, so he's happy. The wide receivers, you got to think that they were in a good spot. But, yeah, Stafford's not healthy. I don't think I'm as high on them. I might be picking the 49ers.
Yeah, look, he might still play week one. It's just it doesn't look good not only for week one, but – is he available for a full 17 or, I guess, 18?
I will say the Rams are probably one of the teams that relate to my all 32. If they were worse at it, which is certainly not the case to be there, are teams going to view this suck for luck version of the NFL quarterback stuff? We understand there's still a lot of good quarterbacks coming in. People expect
Nussmeier
and some others. But Archie Manning was doing an interview and said, Arch will be at Texas in 2026, trying to make it very clear that Arch has no plan to enter the NFL draft after the season. There were some rumblings there and certainly some NFL draft
what if he has a Heisman year, though?
Who think that that was the case. But, do you not go into this thought process thinking, you know, because it feels like the Saints are one of those teams, going into this process hoping you're going to get Arch if he's not going to be available?
I think they're just trying to lower expectation, too, going in. I mean, if I don't know if they'll do this, but if you told me that Arch Manning had a good enough season to where he was a Heisman candidate, a legit Heisman candidate, got invited to New York, and if scouts in everybody's telling him that he would be the number one quarterback taken, if that's actually where we get to in December, you're telling me he's not going out of college football? I don't buy it. Now, maybe he's just not that good, and so it's no-brainer he stays in. That's what might end up being the case. I'm just saying, if he has the type of season where he becomes the clear number one quarterback, then why are you staying in?
I mean, I wonder if just based on the amount of money that you can make, if the team that you're like is like, I don't know about this situation, yada, yada,
number
yada.
One overall pick, though.
Did you watch the clip of Brian Kelly, Drew, from the SEC doc on Netflix?
Yep.
There's a clip of him in
talking
a car
about Garrett.
Working with Garrett Nussmeier's agent. It looks like a nightmare these college coaches.
The weird part, too, Cody, you mentioned that hit Garrett Nussmeier's agent is also Brian Kelly's agent.
Oh, wow.
That makes it even weirder.
Yeah. Kidding.
Definitely some awkward. It's got to be a weird conversations, you know, in college football. It's just a weird time.
It is a weird time for the sport, but yeah, the Arch Manning stuff. It certainly will be a talking point. It feels like
I just don't buy the extra money thing. I buy guys when we talk about, oh, he's going to be a late first rounder or a second rounder. I'm sorry, if you were told you're going to be the number one overall pick,
you go out.
You don't stay and you're not making more money in college in that scenario. No, absolutely not.
So mine is about a rookie quarterback for this year. It feels like the Browns are – so Shedeur Sanders is going to get the start. It feels like – it just feels weird. He's had one full practice with the ones. The way that this comes across is we're going to give you a shot just to say that we're giving you a shot. This is one and done for Shedeur, where if he goes out and he's okay or if he struggles at all whatsoever, the Browns are just going to say, well, we tried and it's a lost cause. It feels like they're not making it as easy as it could be, or they're putting a little bit of pressure on him essentially in this one game of, this is your only shot, dude. Go out and do it. We've given you one practice with the ones. Go and try to make something happen. It just feels a little icky. I don't know.
I don't view it that way at all. I think a couple things. They have quarterback injuries all over the place. He's only one of two.
Gabriel's not practicing.
He's one of two healthy quarterbacks. They just went and signed Snoop Huntley because of it. So I think it is that, hey, you've been in camp with us the whole time, and you're healthy. You're playing. I think that's all
this
is. That's
a great opportunity for Shedeur Sanders.
This isn't some conspiracy that they're trying to make him look bad or something like that. That's wild. I just think he's one of the healthy quarterbacks. Also, let's not forget, guys, he was a fifth-round quarterback. They don't owe him anything.
Yeah, they don't owe him protection in this situation. The first preseason game and the third preseason game, and I think their first unofficial depth chart similar to this, which is like a media-based or like a like a Chiefs media, like an internal employee, but not the coaching staff-based one, had him as the fourth-string quarterback. It's a huge...
He was drafted after Dylan Gabriel. It makes sense.
If I were Sanders, I'd be viewing this as a massive opportunity. What if I look good? What if I create a little buzz for myself? It's not like they do complicated defenses in which they're sending you 97 blitz schemes in a preseason game, Drew. It should be base stuff.
I get that, but I think that along with the whole Andrew Bear, Jimmy Haslam coming out and saying it wasn't my pick, it was Andrew Berry's pick, like it just feels really weird. Like Jimmy Haslam basically suggested, I didn't want them to take Shador, but they took Shador anyways. Now we have two rookie quarterbacks. Like the whole, and I don't know if that's just because it's the Browns and that news is getting out. It just feels like they have no choice to play Shador. They'd probably rather him not. Like they wouldn't start him normally.
I think,
but they haven't. They've given him one practice with the ones when. I don't know. It just comes across.
He's not number one or number two on the depth chart. He's healthy, but he was drafted after Dylan Gabriel. I don't know why everybody acts so shocked that Shador Sanders is not getting a bunch of reps with the number ones. He was a fifth round draft pick. That would happen. The only reason why we're acting like it's crazy is because his name is Shador Sanders. Any other fifth round draft pick, we would not be saying, "Man, can you believe they're not giving him a bunch of first team reps?" That's just how this usually works. I'm curious to see how he looks though, coming up with the next couple.
I think he's
going to
look good.
I hope so.
At this point, if he is good, Gold, what do you do for the Browns? Like, there's no reason for him.
Blam.
If he looks really good, then he has to play. And if he doesn't play, then there's something going on.
Yeah.
I think that's what this can create.
But a guy can look good in a preseason game and still not look good in practice situation.
Right? Yeah, but I'm sure Dylan Gabriel is not looking any better, you know?
That is all 32 here. And one more time, someone says the NIL thing is why Arch Manning would stay. Again, if the season goes the way we were laying out, and he is projected to be the number one overall pick. He is not making more money in NIL than the number one overall pick. Go back and look at Kayla Williams' signing bonus or Cam Ward's signing bonus. It is not anywhere near as low as NIL money. If your argument is guys that are projected to be the fourth quarterback taken should stay, I'm with you. That's why Quinn Ewers should have stayed in college football. The guy was drafted late. He should have stayed in college football and made more money. Nobody's arguing that NIL isn't why some players stay. The direct conversation,
it's
though,
the
is
number one overall pick.
If you're the number one overall pick, you don't stay in college, plain and simple.
Important development out of camp here. It is being reported by the Kansas City Chiefs and people adding us now. Guess who's at training camp today, Drew? One, and I'm going to say this very carefully, Terrell Owens. I'm going to say his name correctly in an effort to do it. As a reminder, Terrell was nice enough to join us because he's in a celebrity pickleball match tonight, I think, or tomorrow, here in Kansas City at PickleCon.
Yeah, so Drew and Mac are playing Saturday.
They are. They're in a celebrity one, although I got to be honest with you, Drew.
You're not quite a celebrity
as Terrell Owens.
Don't use that word with me, please.
If he's available, make sure you say Terrell.
Just call him T.O. if you can get his attention.
Let's see if he'll come on the show and be like joining us now.
So.
Terrell Owens.
If we have him on the show,
you can correct the mistake.
If we have him on the show, we may not have to talk the rest of the show.
No. Tell him we can talk about PickleCon if he comes by. Tell him we can talk about pickleball. Or maybe we can get a game going. Is there a net up here? Probably not, huh? They got a court? Maybe you versus T.O. Let's see how you fare.
Yeah, spoiler, I'll lose. that's how that would.
But by how much?
That's how
you
that
get
would
a point,
go
though, right?
I don't know, man. He's a professional athlete that also is taking pickleball very seriously. He's a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
He's getting training from professional pickleball.
Yeah, he's also in great shape, it looks like, from being on the field.
He's always been in great shape, it seems
like. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think he'll die in great shape.
He's probably just going to start doing sit-ups in front of the fans here in a little bit as well. All right, another sign that football season is back. You guys remember last year that Colts fan that did the Colts songs?
Yes, yeah, I remember that.
Apparently, he's back. He just came out with a new song for the Colts preseason game tonight. The Colts are playing preseason football this evening, and they are taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Here's the latest.
All right, guys, I'm back in this preseason. Let's do it!
Woo! This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Ravens. Let's give them Edgar Allan Woes. This is our team. Go Colts!
Yay! Oh my!
I love
what
the
was,
Edgar Allan Woes.
What was that?
Okay.
He's back.
That was a nay.
That was a nay? That's what that was meant to be?
That's what the caption said, at least in the... that's what the closed caption said.
Okay. Can I ask a question? Is this what people think about my songs?
Some of them.
Is this what they think I sound like?
I'm surprised that you're not more supportive of this, Cody, because I think this
individual... This is crazy.
He is comfortable in his own skin, more comfortable than a lot of us are. To do this, just the same as you're comfortable to do your songs, I feel like you would support this man.
I didn't say I didn't support him. I just didn't realize that was an A, and then I
think
laughed.
Cody, most of Cody's songs are better than that, but I must say there are moments where it sounds like you.
Which
I don't know, man.
Specifically? I don't remember doing any.
Text line says Cody's a Colts fan.
Oh, my goodness.
Will you do a preseason song for the Chiefs-Cardinals preseason game tomorrow?
I'm supposed to get
live
that done
at Hollywood
in a day.
Casino? I don't know.
I would have
text line says sounds exactly like Cody.
No, it does not sound exactly like
someone
me,
says
line.
That song.
All of this take offense.
Someone
this.
Says the beat that he is the Colts fan is using is from like a worship song, and they said he ruined it.
Oh man.
Someone says it's yeah. Someone says it sounds like a bad version of a church song.
Well, that's apparently it is.
That's I think it is.
I've never I've covered a lot of different genres. I've never covered Christian rock.
You haven't, but that's a Colts fan. He did it all last year, and he's barely going to do it this year. He gets a lot of views off of it. We had a listener send
Should
us.
Should I do a different religion? I could cover dreidel or one of the other ones?
I would recommend you not do that.
You would recommend I not do
yes.
that? Why, Gold?
I would recommend you not
You
do
recommend
that.
I would not do that? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. I don't know that I can get a preseason song. If it's that short, if you want like a 30-second preseason song, I might be able to accomplish it.
Yeah.
But if it's got to be like a full-length 90-second,
I don't know. A listener just sent us that song and said, I don't know if you guys heard this year's song. And so I appreciate Drew for putting that in
Cody,
system.
If you do a preseason song, I feel like it's got to feature all of the guys who are Camp Darlings left. Like it has to feature them in some way, shape, or form. Yes.
There's only four of them left. Obviously,
correct.
We'll do an elimination after the preseason game coming up this Saturday, which you can only hear, of course, right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs football. The Royals will be over on 6:10 a.m., but Chiefs football this Saturday right here on 96.5. Oh, man, I don't have to look. People got any song suggestions? You think it would be This Is Our Chiefs? I don't know, man. I don't have anyone
this
off the top of my head.
This Is Our Chiefs. I don't think so. Someone says, that guy should not be famous. He's the new She Bangs guy from American Idol. Remember that whole thing? Drew, were you old enough to remember who we're talking about?
Can you say it again? Sorry.
The guy from American Idol back in the day that did the She Bang, She Bang. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm Cody probably old enough, but no. I never watched one episode of American
People
Idol, so
I
wouldn't know.
About.
Yes.
Text line says that they think he's that same level of fame now.
Oh. I don't know if he's that level of fame. Does he get – I think it's more just like a sports media grouping than that, don't you?
Someone says, yeah, he should be featured in one of your other songs. You should work with – you guys
should – I should work with him for the Chiefs-Colts week?
Colts week.
We could do a song
together.
Maybe
November
a rap 20, battle?
Like November 23rd, I think, is the game. William Hung is the guy's name
that did the
American
that
Idol.
I was never, ever, 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 ever going to remember
I love
that.
How many people still know it. That name is ingrained in your mind forever. Forever.
I mean, it was that one and the older British lady. Those were like really
hers was for good reason, though.
Yeah.
She was good. William Hung was popular.
No, I understand, but those
terrible.
Were like the two ones that were like surprising, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you watch any of those singing competition shows?
Not really anymore. Not really anymore.
I didn't really watch them then.
I figured you do. I figured you're locked into those every night. I figure you've been auditioning.
No,
I figure you text to vote and you do all that stuff.
I do not text to vote. I don't do any of that stuff.
All right. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Practice is just about wrapped up. They're doing special teams work. Then they'll do side sessions. And then we're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes before the Chiefs head out to Arizona. But we'll continue to talk about the left guard situation as well. Jalen Moore continues to get reps there. What could happen at left guard, including Saturday night? That's coming up.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour live from St. Joe.
Brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Final stretches going on post-practice, and then we are expected to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as they get set to go back to KC and then fly out, tomorrow or Saturday, I guess,
yep.
As they take on the Cardinals. And then They'll practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that's it. We'll be up here Monday, Tuesday, but they actually have three more practices, and then training camp 2025 is done, just like that.
Well, you know, that's how it works. You get that first preseason game, so what, three more days, like you said? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll be up here Monday and Tuesday, and they'll be there. For those who weren't listening earlier in the show, Drew Tranquil back at practice, and probably more importantly and more surprisingly, at least up to this point, Christian Fulton off the PUP list gold at practice. We know that they've leaned on the veterans, the same guys, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, Nazi Johnson. Joshua Williams, Nazi Johnson, and Jalen Watson. Those guys have been pretty consistently the guys out there. Obviously, they'll work in Noel Williams, too. But Christian Fulton was brought in so that they had the flexibility with Trent McDuffie that they wanted. And he's kind of an important cog to that, being able to give him the flexibility, to give him the chance to play some of the slot, to move around a little bit in that regard. And so not a small absence, Gold, or not a small addition, sorry, what was an absence out of him. And so good to get Christian Fulton back at practice as well.
Yeah, I like seeing that, because now week one is back in play for him. You know, you
still got a month.
You've got enough time to get ready, even though you're behind the eight ball a little bit. But, yeah, you can get ramped up. You can still allow them to do what they want to do. And during training camp, you were able to get reps for some of the younger guys, and Noel Williams in particular, because you were down a man. And also, I thought, you know, Jalen Watson still, to me, I know last year was frustrating for the entire secondary outside of McDuffie, but Jalen Watson, to me, was – clearly the number two corner for this team. Just got hurt.
Most reliable.
And so I still feel good about what he brings. Because
I think
we all know,
they dislike Joshua Williams.
As we know, they rotate everybody. So we can talk about number one, number two corner. Everybody's getting on the field to a certain extent just because of the nature of how they play defense and package, especially if we're talking safety position and how they move guys around. But even at corner, and Trent McDuffie, when he's at his best, he's able to not just be stuck at one particular position.
No, agreed. And that's been largely the case, I think, in their career. But it's... they like flexibility in all of their secondary. And I still think bringing in Fulton, liking Jaden Hicks, all of these factors, Gold, are why they were willing to let go of Justin Reed. So, like, you kind of need those guys to be in play in order for that plan to actually work, come to fruition, be successful, all of those things outside of it. And so, yeah, you kind of need those things in order for all of those pieces to come into play.
We continue to see Jalen Moore get some left guard reps. That's the one that
is it not?
Left guard's the interesting one.
Know.
You know, they want to get him reps at every position possible.
It's also splitting time at right tackle every day.
Yeah, and I told you I don't think that's a battle. I think that truly is, let's just get him reps at right tackle. He's our backup right tackle.
Yeah.
He's not technically the backup left tackle.
I think it's
Morris
maybe load management for Jawan Taylor.
Yeah, left guard, though. You know, Kingsley, we all know last year as a left tackle, got an opportunity, really struggled, got benched. He feels more confident at left guard, but we still really haven't seen him play much left guard. You got a guy in Mike Caliendo who played left guard when Tooney shifted over to left tackle.
So you don't think it's just Kingsley's job today?
I do not think it's a done deal left guard yet.
You do think it's a done deal left tackle,
and
center,
right
guard.
Every position but left guard.
Right tackle.
And I would still lean that Kingsley will be the starting left guard. But the other guys are like, you know, either Simmons is 100% left tackle. I would say Jawan's like 90% right tackle. Obviously, we know about right.
Center, right guard. Yeah.
Left guard? I don't know. I think Kingsley's like 75% chance it's him at left guard.
It might be worth asking Nate Taylor, who will join us after the press conferences end up over in the media tent. And we'll go down there as soon as Andy Reid starts to talk.
Yeah, let's hear from Andy Reid live here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, obviously some audio issues there. Drew, if we find the direct feed, it sounds like they don't have the microphone on the podium on or something.
Yeah.
That was hard to hear for us. I can't imagine. I'm sure it was very hard for you guys to hear. So we'll try to get
that. We'll try a different feed.
Same with Patrick Mahomes, and we'll go back out there if we have a different feed. We'll also just keep an eye on what is being said, if there's anything of note. Plus, Nate Taylor is going to join us. If you're wondering, Andy did say there, each quarterback and their respective units will get a quarter of work. It's the same thing he says every year.
It'll be a series, maybe two.
Mahomes... look, if you tell me the Chiefs have to kick off and the Cardinals have an 8-minute drive, then yes, Mahomes will probably play the whole first quarter. If the Chiefs get the ball first and they go three and out,
he'll get one more series.
Yeah, but that's not a surprise to hear from Andy Reid how they plan on approaching the game Saturday in Arizona.
No, I feel like Andy Reid, and I feel like more people are probably going to copy this time goes on. He's got his system down to an Art Gold, and because of the amount of success he's had consistently, who am I to argue with success? That's the one thing I'll say about like the teams that are changing it up. I'm not saying they shouldn't change it up, but it probably should be concerning to you that you are getting off to such a bad start every year so many times that you feel a need to alter it. Andy Reid's been doing the same thing even for the years his team occasionally went 4-12. Back in the year that finally got him fired. What did he win? 3, 4, 5 games that final year they got him fired in Philly? Something like that?
I can't remember. Yeah.
It was right something inside that window of time or range. And so, you know, I give Andy a lot of credit that he has never felt the need to change those things up because he is the most successful at what he does, Gold, and for a reason. But no, it's not going to be a quarter. Don't let Andy fool you.
Maybe if they have an 8-minute drive.
8-minute?
maybe the Cardinals
have
an
8-minute. The other team has an 8-minute drive, sure. If both teams have an 8-minute drive, then, yeah, I guess he'll play the entire first quarter. But it's, you know, like, no chance. No chance it's going inside of that range, depending on what it is. I am a little – are you curious at all to see Gardner Minshew?
In what way? Like,
he's you hope to never see him, so it doesn't matter.
Well, no, I just mean, like, even in the preseason game, like, he's a backup quarterback. It's not a – you know, typically, if you have a team that has a guy you've never seen play before, you're, like, you're intrigued. But kind of, you know what Gardner Minshew is as a backup. You know what he is as a starter in this league. I don't really – I mean, in other situations, if you told me they drafted a quarterback in the 7th round, I'd be more intrigued to watch that guy because we've never seen him play, you know. Gardner Minshew is fine. The most positive thing I could say about him playing Saturday a lot is you have a guy that knows what he's doing to help get the ball to your younger guys like Jalen Royals. You're not having a young quarterback with young receivers, and you're like,
It's not Oladokun throwing to Jalen
Royals. Gardner Minshew is
going
to try to get it to Royals and Tyquan Thornton and Rashard Smith and some of these other guys.
Andy Reid did say that Rashee Rice's groin issue is considered minor.
Okay.
Said they're holding him out as a precaution. I would remind you that this is another, like, between-the-lines thing. He's also called Hollywood things minor, but he's missed 2 full weeks.
Well, it's training camp still, so it's easy to say that.
He's not missed 2 full weeks. He's missed a full week, a week and a half, at least on that end. But, I don't consider your injury, like, that would cost you 2 NFL games minor. I don't, like, maybe that's crazy, but, like, and maybe, I don't know, I guess that is minor.
No, but
maybe
also,
like,
Cody,
a month is what it considers.
But it's because during training camp, if you think it's an injury that keeps you out of a week in the regular season, it's not keeping you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's not a major injury. Sure.
And so that's why. Like, it's a month till the season, so nothing. You know,
he called his absence a precaution.
Yeah, and they should be cautious with it.
They also don't have to rush him in any conceivable way.
He's not going to play till October or something.
No, anyway. I mean, I'm hoping it's not Halloween. It might be mid-October.
Yeah.
Before we see him play a football game, so like, I don't want to risk that. You know, there's no reason to risk that if you're the Chiefs. You can take your time. He's got reps with Mahomes. He's been around the league now long enough to know there. But, like, yeah, it's what Andy says about preseason is he says it's a quarter and it's a series. That's the most important thing. And, Rashee Rice.
And if they just have one good drive, like, even if you tell me they have a quick drive but they head on a 40-yard touchdown, then it's over. Ball game. They don't need him in there anymore. They don't need Mahomes in there anymore.
I do kind of want to see him behind the new-look offensive line. So, like, there's an argument for a quarter other than the injury part of it.
We've been around Andy Reid enough. We know they're not all playing the full first quarter unless you tell me, the Cardinals go 8 minutes on the opening drive and the Chiefs go and wrap up the quarter into the second quarter and they have the ball still or something like
that. Let's go back and talk a little bit about – and, Drew, if for some reason we get better audio, let us know. But we're not worried about going back if it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But if – let's – let me ask you again about the percentages, because you put it at 90% for Juwan Taylor. What percentage chance do you think that Kingsley Suamati is the starter week one?
Oh, that's why I said 75%.
75?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's won the job. I honestly think it might be higher than that.
All right, let's try going back to the podium and see if we got a better feed for Patrick Mahomes.
I told Deets when I watched him that he was really good. I think that was the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, the health stuff and stuff like that, I can't be there for those medical stuff and everything like that. But when you watch him on tape, I mean, you realize how talented he was, how strong he was, and the way he was able to move. And so good for us that we were able to get him and that he's gotten here and he's been healthy so far. And so he's done a great job, man. I mean, he's gotten better and better. He's learning. And obviously he's had some highlights and made some big plays, but it's about getting better and better, and he's continuing to do that.
It is camp, but do you feel like Noah Gray's maybe taking another step?
Yeah, I think you saw that last year, and I think he's just carrying that momentum into this season. He makes plays. I mean, he's not like the guy that's going to go out and like be vocalized about it or kind of show off or showboat or anything like that. He just goes out there and he does his job to the best of his ability, and whenever he gets the opportunity, he makes the play happen. And so that's a guy that I trust a lot. He's learned a ton from Trav, and I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a vital part of our offense as we continue to push the game even forward. No, we definitely want to push the ball down the field and push the ball into tighter windows this year. I mean, we got the guys that can make the contested catches. I think y'all seen that out here, and the guys are. We told them we're gonna give them a chance, and they got to prove to us that they can make those plays, and they're proving that. And so, Coach Reed has been adamant about pushing the ball and trying to make plays happen, and we've been having success with it. And the goal is to keep that going throughout the regular season.
Even with those tighter windows, is it required for you to not maybe see a wide opening?
I mean, that's how I've always played. I mean, this last few years, I'd say, was abnormal of not pushing the ball down the field, not being attacking mindset. And so we're trying to get back to that. And so giving guys chances to make plays. We got the receivers. We got the offensive line blocking. Let's give the guys chances to make plays down the field. And if it's one-on-one, we think our guys are going to win.
What you experienced last year with the amount of hits, the amount of injuries, how much did that sort of affect your ability to sort of maybe push it a little bit more than you would normally be accustomed to? Or does that help you when you get back to being fully healthy?
Yeah, I think it's you don't want it to affect you. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, last year we didn't play our best offensive football, but to be a great quarterback in this league, you got to stand in there, take the hits, and make the throws. And I think you see the greats do that. And so for me, being able to get back to that mindset and trusting the offensive line, they've done a great job this camp so far, and I'm going to trust in those guys standing in there and make those throws and let guys make plays.
What do you want rookies and first-year players to know about their first NFL experience?
Yeah, I think it's going out there and doing what they've done this camp. I mean, obviously it's going to be a bigger stage. You're going up against another team, but I think Coach Reed prepares us better than anybody else in the league to go out there and play your best football, and that's because we practice hard, we practice fast. And so when you get to the game, it's not that huge step up. It's a step up for sure, but it's not that huge step up. So go out there like you practice, have the right mindset, and just play fast and let the rest handle itself.
Given the injuries to receivers right now, how impressed have you been with Brownlee and then Thornton?
Yeah, I mean, those guys got to step up and make plays, and they've done that. And that speaks to the depth of our receiving room this year. And being able to have some guys that just have little nicks and bruises here and there, and they get to rest a little bit, rest their bodies. And other guys step up and make plays, that's a good sign to see. And so Coach Reed, Veach, all those guys brought in a lot of great talented players, and they're making plays whenever they get the opportunity to.
Patrick, you looking forward to throwing against another defense on Sunday, Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily look forward to getting hit. Like, I always like getting hit once, but it's still a shock. I mean, going up against Spags is always tough, but it'll be a good defense that we're going up against, and they have a great scheme and a great coach, and so I'm just excited to see where we're at. Go out there, see where we're at, get hopefully a couple series, and go out there and then play some good football.
And lastly for me, a lot of talk about smelling salts over the last couple of days. Are you a smelling salt guy?
I'm not a big smelling salt guy. I'm not really hitting people, though, and so I know guys are, like, people do use those, not for bad reasons, to get themselves ready to go, and so... I know we can bring them, but they can't provide them. I don't know how that works, but I'm sure we'll figure out. Some people will figure out a way to get the smelling salts out there. I mean, it's a vital part of the football game.
Travis said that the ball's coming out of your hand fast. You've got a live arm. That your mind is better than it's ever been. Do you feel like you're in a position to be your best the next couple of years?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that's not just me. That's I think we've brought in the players to do that. You know, Veach, like I said, has brought in a lot of great receivers and tight ends and running backs to make plays. The offensive line, we got depth there. They're playing some great football. And then my mindset is to let these guys go out there and make plays. And so I think sometimes you try to do too much when you have too much information. And I feel like at times these last years I've done that, just being smarter and being able to see stuff. But at the end of the day, it's football. And if you think it's one-on-one and your guy can beat that guy, let him have a chance to make a play.
Last three, Nick, Nate, Vane.
Patrick, for you. What's been your different approach this year to camp to kind of put yourself at an even higher level than you've been before?
Yeah, I wanted to up my mentality. You know, sometimes you get to camp and you just want to you want to go out there and dominate the day, but I want to dominate every single rep. You know, I want to make sure we're getting the best out that we can out of every single rep that we get on the field. If that's even like we had a shift in motion spirit today, where we're just going through the shifts and the motions, I want to make sure that we're getting set, doing those things the right way, and that carries through the entire practice. And I there's no days off. You got to get better and better every day. No bad days, and I think that's been something that we've been great at this camp.
Madden rating. We saw Bobby's tweet in relation to that. I know you're further along in your career, but does the Madden rating do anything to you? Is there any reaction you have to?
I mean, I like playing Madden, so I would like to be rated higher, but I got to play and showcase that stuff on the football field. And so, I believe if I go out there and play the football that I want to play, that we can get to 99 pretty quickly.
Patrick, the people that made the Kingdom documentary described you as a Parker. In that, I wonder if you could describe what that means, and have you seen it yet?
I've seen parts for sure. It's a great documentary, and I think obviously the season is part of it, but it's great to see the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I saw stuff that I didn't even know. I thought I knew everything about the Kansas City Chiefs, and so the Hunt family, the Kansas City Chiefs, Disney, they all did it the right way, and for them to let me be a part of it in some way, in some form. Well, it was really cool for me. But I got to do that after the season. So now we're back to football. But it is cool to see stuff like that done, because I've loved those documentaries my whole entire life. And so seeing how the bread is buttered, it was really cool.
Did you have like some editorial say? Have you been working on the cutting room floor? I mean, I
do stuff here and there, but like I'm very low on the totem pole. I mean, it's more of like, hey, let's just keep this code word out of there so I can use it this next year and stuff like that. Nothing too crazy as far as those people are amazing at their jobs, so I'm going to let them handle that.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes at the end talking about the new documentary. I think it comes out next Friday or Thursday, something like that, through ESPN and Disney, the Chiefs Kingdom documentary, which will be not only about last year, which obviously will have an ending that nobody's going to want, but also about the history, as he said there. And very protective.
We got lucky one time when he was
show.
On quarterback on the year. He won the Super
Correct.
Bowl.
Correct.
So we got the documentary in.
He also said smelling salts are vital for football. We had Chris Jones on yesterday. He basically said the same thing. So, and again, if you
vital
the update is
we're talking
players
about like their helmets.
Players can have them, just not able to have the team provide them. And Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens already ordered $1,000 worth off Amazon. So
what's $1,000 worth get you? Is that a season's worth?
Let's take a look.
If you're getting on Amazon and I order some smelling salts, what's $1,000? How far does that go?
I'm guessing a lot.
I mean, I would hope it's a lot.
Smelling salts. Here we go.
I still
American-made Wake the Faith Up salts. Okay, all right. Hype in a bottle smelling salts, $25.99, pre-activated.
Smelling salts, 6, 100 count, yeah. $70.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's different types.
I mean,
types.
It's definitely not, I'll say this.
The sticks are $70 for 100.
Is this just owners trying to be cheap?
No, they're not worried
sure?
about the cost.
You
yes.
sure? Owners like
yes.
being cheap for a lot of other reasons. Yes. They not want to pay for smelling salts anymore?
It's the optics and the concussion masking part of it. It's the owners are not saying we don't want to buy 100 sticks of smelling salts. Come on.
But if he alone is spending $1,000, what is this cost per team? Yeah. What are we, $50,000 a year in smelling salts?
That's also like saying like the NFL, you got to provide your own Band-Aids now. We're not. I mean, come on. I mean,
that's what I'm asking.
No.
They're trying to cut a corner.
No, they just don't like the optics of it because it's like, basically what they've said, they're addicted to them.
Again, my comparison is what I think it is. I had said it maybe, I don't remember if I said it on the air, if I said it to Carrington when we were
No,
just...
I get your point about what they worry about. I don't agree with you. I agree with the point you're about to make again.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
agree
yeah.
with the cost-cutting part
I
of
do,
it.
I do think that there's a part that, like, the way you're describing the visual is like in Mad Max when they spray the chrome all over their mouth before they start going crazy. That's what they're worried it looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just all like, I'm all jacked up from a, you yeah. know, like that's what it feels like a little like.
The NFLPA clarified yesterday. So don't worry, you'll still see your smelling salts. You'll still have them. It's more of a defensive player thing, I think.
It's just kind of crazy they're making them buy them themselves. Now, just for the optics part of it, again, and, you know, what we talked about yesterday with it, which is, again, it's interesting when you're like, safety and visuals, and then all the other stuff they do as a league that are terrible, at least on the other end, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, up next, let's get to what's trending. We're also expected to have Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, stop by as we continue broadcasting live from Chiefs camp.